saw her from a distance as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. And she took out pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up to heaven. The words she said were these. She said, "Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him just one more time, you see. All I have are the memories and the moments to recall. So Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name on a wall?" She said he really missed the family and being home on Christmas Day. And he died for God and country in a place so far away. I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me. She said, "Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love seeing him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memories and the moments to recall. But Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name on the wall? Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name?"
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere. So many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog.
Once you got it.
By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. Back. Miss Amy back with an all-new Living Way Out here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
I'm a
That's what I said. James is darn good. But he's better. And I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on the Shoe Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusion on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench. And it is D-Day, 6th of June, 2016. It's a Monday. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Amy is getting closer to being home. I will go. As a matter of fact, she is so close that I will not be on tomorrow night because I must travel to the belly of the beast. And, well, it's not quite bad. I'm just going to Phoenix. But going down there to pick her up. So that will interfere with programming tomorrow. And I'll be back on Wednesday for the rest of the week as normal. Amy will be back on Thursday and continue her normal scheduling after that. So we got that to look forward to. D-Day, what an operation that was, Operation Overlord. It was the largest undertaking of air, land, and sea operation before or since June 6, 1944. 5,000 ships. Wow, can you imagine that? You know, it's pretty spectacular to see 10 big ships out there, or an aircraft carrier and a couple of destroyers or something. Pretty amazing. Can you imagine 5,000 ships headed to the same place at the same time? And 11,000 airplanes covering them. 150,000 soldiers and sailors, Marines. All out there to put the kibosh to Hitler's dream of Nazi domination of the world. Some of these guys, most of them, as a matter of fact, some as low as young as probably 14, 15 years old. Few of them had seen 20 yet. Diving out there on that beach, all of them knowing that they could face certain death as soon as they got off that landing craft. Those were men. We don't have, we still have a lot of good men in this country, in this world, but I'm not sure that we have the numbers of the quality that we had in those days. What a spectacular operation that was.
I am speaking to you from the cabinet room at 10 Downing Street. This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and that consequently this country is at war.
You know, most of us, most of us in the chat room, there's not too many of us. I don't remember that. There are a few of us still that were pretty young when that went on. And it was a spectacular time to be alive. Yeah, the patriotism and the sacrifices, the families, the thing that people getting together, and it was just probably at the time having to experience that, most of them probably didn't feel what we feel for them now. A lot of excitement, a lot of sadness. Quite a deal, though. Every time I think about this kind of, D-Day and Veterans Day and anything that has to do with World War II, I can't help but think about my stepdad, who what a remarkable patriot he was. Died on Father's Day of 2001. And, or 2001? No, 2009. Father's Day 2009. And, he had been there and done that. He was on the USS Kidd when it was hit by a kamikaze pilot. And, I won't say one of the few that survived it. There was a lot of survivors, but there was a lot of deaths on that one too. But he made it, and we're glad of it.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. Of the German war machine. The elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe. And security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened. He will fight savagely. Together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory.
Yeah, that was a different day. Well, let's move on into some other stuff here. You know, I can't help but think about the, we look at the quality of not just the men, but the women in those days. You know, the women that worked in the shipyards, the women that were home running the farms and the businesses and raising families and everything else while hundreds of thousands of young men were serving around the world. And we look at some of the people out here now that complain about the most trivial, the most chicken poop stuff that you can possibly imagine, to the point where it ruins people's lives, where it destroys it makes things worse than they already are. People are grieving over certain things, and people complain about it. In 1944, we wouldn't have seen much or any of that. I would say none, really, of some of the things. This story right here, you know, if I think about it for very long, it makes me sad. And I get over the sadness pretty quick, and I just get furious. These are the kind of things that makes me want to stomp a water hole in somebody's ass and then stomp it dry. There was a 4-year-old kid here, had, what disease he had. It was from complications related to severe epilepsy. And this single mother scraped and put together things for nearly 3 years and managed to get $5,000 for a special made headstone of a teddy bear holding a star. It is so cool. And there's city council didn't even talk to her, just removed the headstone following a complaint from another family who said that this headstone was not in keeping with their family's plot. Well, it wasn't in their family's thing anyway. It was over off to the side. Listen, a complaint, singular, one complaint. And the city took it down. Oh, my word. I cannot imagine this. I'm going to put a series of pictures in the chat room for you to look at and see. This is amazing to me. It's just flabbergasting. This first one here is a picture of the little boy before he died, of course. No long slide. This is not live tonight. Just thought I'd let you know there. So I'll throw that in there. Here's this little boy. And I don't know if that was a good enough one or not. Let me throw another one in there. Now I would think that that anyone would it really matter if the people that complained knew the story of the little boy? Would it matter at all if they saw a picture of this little boy? I'm going to put a picture in there of the headstone that the lady had made. It is nothing short of awesome. Click on that and blow it up and check it out. $5,000 she paid for that. And I would never spend that much on a headstone, but you know, if it made her feel better, that's I have no problem. It's her money. Certainly, people spend at least that much. So, and the last one here is a picture of her sitting by the grave after these anal orifices went in there and removed the headstone. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I read things like this, and sometimes it's a good thing that I'm alone, because I'll either get a combination of tears in my eyes and just start shaking because I am so furious. And you know, all of us have had that at some point. I assume all of us have. Got to a point where you're so mad, you're shaking. It makes you so mad, you cry about it. Well, this kind of stuff just about does that for me. I can't imagine somebody being so selfish and so rude and so mean, so awful, as to do something like that. It astounds me. blows me away. Alongside, no, not that I know of. I'll find out. I'll stop and check tomorrow. I didn't look today, so it very well may have come in today. But I will check tomorrow and see. All right. That's enough of that story. Mountaineer, yes, I have seen 45s that use small pistol primers. That's something that you have to be very cautious of when you're... there's not a lot of them out there, but you have to be very careful about that when you're... start reloading with them. I don't know if there's a one manufacturer, one or more, that does that routinely, but most of them are large primers, but there are some smalls out there. I don't know if they're match or not, but Kilogram, good to see you. Yeah, we talked about that one anal orifice the other day, on Memorial Day, that drove through all the crosses on Memorial Day and knocked down, I don't remember what it was, 200 or 300 of them. Some of them damaged beyond repair and had to be replaced. So yeah, can't imagine. Just surely can't imagine why people do something like that. At all, in my wildest nightmares. I don't understand it.
We stand on a lonely, windswept point on the northern shore of France. But 40 years ago at this moment, the air was dense with smoke and the cries of men, and the air was filled with the crack of rifle fire and the roar of cannon. Here in Normandy, the rescue began. At dawn on the morning of the 6th of June, 1944...
62 of the Rangers who scaled the cliffs there at Pointe aux Hopes, now back 40 years later to the scene of their heroic action.
These are the boys of Pointe aux Hopes. These are the men who took the cliffs.
It was a very moving experience. They were... what General Marshall called our secret weapon, the best damn kids in the world. Where do we find them? Where do we find such men? And the answer came almost as quickly as I'd asked the question. Where we've always found them in this country. On the farms, the shops, the stores and the offices. They just are the product of the freest society the world has ever known.
Someday, Liz, I'll go back, said Private First Class Peter Robert Zanatta of the 37th Engineer Combat Battalion and first assault wave to hit Omaha Beach. Lisa Zanatta Hen began her story by quoting her father, who promised that he would return to Normandy. She ended with a promise to her father, who died 8 years ago of cancer. I'm going there, Dad. And I'll see the beaches and the barricades and the monuments. I'll see the graves, and I'll put flowers there just like you wanted to do. I'll feel all the things you made me feel through your stories and your eyes. I'll never forget what you went through, Dad, nor will I let anyone else forget. And Dad, I'll always be proud. Through the words of his loving daughter, who is here with us today, a D-Day veteran has shown us the meaning of this day far better than any president can. It is enough for us to say about Private Zanatta and all the men of honor and courage who fought beside him 4 decades ago, we will always remember. We will always be proud. We will always be prepared, so we may be always free.
We'll be right back. it never fails to surprise me that there are still vast lands of the United States literally uncultivated.
Well, it won't be this way long. Come the private airplane, people will start spreading around.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to be part of the new world?
Well, I don't think it will change as much as some people think.
Oh, but it must.
Why?
For too long, we've had that laissez-faire attitude toward executive operation. We must educate ourselves to share the responsibilities as well as the advantages of citizenship.
Oh, I read that book, too. It certainly made an impression on you, what that writer had to say. But it's a lot of hooey, fixing everybody up when they let out their first squawk, giving them pointers on good government between bottle feedings, and teaching them in school to be good little ladies and gentlemen and not smack each other around.
Oh, it's very easy to make fun of everything.
Listen, Miss Clutch. Have you ever heard of some fellas who first came over to this country? You know what they found? They found a howling wilderness. With summers too hot and winters freezing. Did they have insurance for their old age, for their crops, for their homes? They did not. They looked at the land and the forests and the rivers. They looked at their wives, their kids, and their houses. And then they looked up at the sky and they said, "Thanks, God. We'll take it from here." They were rugged fellows. They were men.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, kind of a long break there, but I just had a burning desire to play some of those themes on. I couldn't find my one from the Air Force, so I apologize to you flyboys. I knew I had it, but then after I had my big Winamp crash here a few months ago, it is now missing in action, so I'll get that back on here. Let me catch up with the chat room here. I didn't see what was going on while I was listening there. Let's see. Got Rolex checking with Yakima Glock. Yak runs a Glock 23. That's good. I don't care what anybody says. I like it 40 caliber pretty good. Of course, I like a 9mm too. But I imagine when I go up to Washington, I'm going to run a 9mm because I've got that's what I've got the most ammo for right now, and for training purposes. And if poop hits the fan while I'm gone, then I'll have something that runs NATO rounds. And my son's going with me, and he'll have a 9mm. So it's just going to work out best for us this time. I usually don't use the 40 during training. I do sometimes just to stay in touch with it. But like I said, there's not a tremendous amount of recoil difference between the 9 and the 40. There's a little. You can tell it. I mean, people with weak wrist and lower, you know, upper body strength and stuff probably notice it a little more than I do, because I'm not very recoil sensitive anyway. But there's really not a whole lot of difference to me. So mostly it's just in expense. If I need the 40, if I feel I carry one every day, every single day, if I, for whatever reason, if something comes up where I need to, I feel the need to carry a 9mm, I have no problem with it. I do not feel undergunned. I just normally carry the 40. So, yeah, arthritis would be another thing that might be more noticeable for some of for the little bit more recoil. And that's a big problem with a lot of people. And we've had to, you know, I try not to get people down any lower than a 380 for a handgun. But once in a while, we get somebody that's just got arthritis so bad that they just can't even hardly hold on to a gun. So we wind up getting them down to a 32. We had one lady got down to a 22. It's all she could do. It was all she could do to hold on to it. So we just kept messing with her and trying to find something that she could do. And bless her heart, she hung in there, and I know it was hurting her, and we tried to find something that she could shoot, you know, 10 times in a row without, literally dropping the gun. And we had to get all the way down to a 22 for her. So she was determined, had a good mindset and everything. So somebody that's got that and a 22, I would rather them do that than somebody that had the wrong mindset, not able to do it, but able to shoot a 45 or you know, whatever, 357 Magnum. I'm sure if this woman ever... PMR is way too big, bulky, and clumsy for concealed carry kilogram. It's a good idea. It does shoot well. I mean, it's... Little much to be putting in a 85-year-old woman's purse. So anyway, that's kilogram. I've got big hands too. I wear a size 14 ring, and I don't have any problem with the 26. Amy's got a 26 that we reduced for her. And, you know, a lot of people will say that the big hands need a bigger gun. I don't believe that. It means that you can handle a bigger gun. It doesn't necessarily mean that a bigger gun is better for you, a gun with a bigger grip. My idea here, and I think I've said this before, is that if you were to grab hold of a 2x4, about a foot long, just grab hold up with one hand and hold it as tight as you can, how hard would it be to twist out of your hand? And now do the same thing with a shovel handle or a, you know, something that's an inch in diameter or something like that. It's just, it's easier to hold on to. Now there's a limit there somewhere, and we talked about this the other night, and that's those stupid little Freedom Arms Derringer, any Derringer, just about. With bigger hands, those little Derringers are just, you know, somewhere there's a crossover point there where the something like a Glock 26 or, you know, a little 32 of some kind. There's some 32s that I can't handle very well because they're just too little. But the 26 does fine. 26, 27. It the 26 and 27 I like them much better after they're reduced because I don't care much for the for that hump in the back the way it is on that one. It does not make me shoot high like the standard Glocks do most people. It does not. I just don't like the feel of it. So we got Amy's reduced and I like it. I like it very well. Shoots good. So. Okay. Well, we're getting close. I'm going to be leaving here in about a week, 8 days. I'll be heading up out of here for Washington. Going to go up there and play at the expo and everything. What all have we got in here for representing Washington tonight? Where in the heck are all these other people at that keep not showing up? We got Longslide. We got Yakima Glock. And that's all. Why am I in there four times again? No, three times. So Desert Rats joined us. Welcome, brother. I haven't seen you for a little while. Let's see. We're missing and have been missing for a while. B2 Basic, Tampico Scout. I know there's a phone call coming in right now, and I'm not going to answer it. So there we go. I hope this expo, I'm really looking forward to this expo this week. Susie B, I think, is from up in that part of the country. I'm not positive. I may be wrong about that. Got several anonymous in there tonight. I'm really looking forward to this expo because last year there was, this was kind of, it was not spur of the moment at all, but it was new and it was fresh and they were, you know, toying with different things. We learned a lot last year, and I am really excited to see the turnout and how things go this year. I think it's going to be awesome. And as soon as we get done with that, we get a day of rest, and then a day of rest. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, we get a day of rest, and then we'll have a Counter-Strike class right there in Yakima. Then I got 2 days to rest. 21st, 22nd, 23rd, yeah, and then 24th, 25th, and 26th, I'll be up in up in Marble, Washington, doing the 3-day personal defense handgun class, and I cannot wait for that class. It's so pretty up there, awesome country. And then I'll come back and get to take a week off, and then I go to New Mexico for the same class. And we have another person ready to take the class in Iowa if we get that one going. So you guys up there in the Midwest, if you're interested in that, can help find a place to shoot and get that going. Remember, the person that does all my footwork up there gets a free class. So that's a pretty good deal, considering this class cost nearly $1,000. So... But we've got a person from, at least one person from Ohio that's going to come over to Iowa. We just got a person from Illinois this morning that's ready to come over to Iowa for a class. So, you know, if we can come up with four or five more people, it's a done deal. I'll be headed for Iowa. Got to get up there and shoot a game of pool with Iowa Cat. I promised her if I get up there, I'd shoot one with her. So, and then she tried to get out of it. Do you remember? Did you hear her the other night? Well, she's telling me she's going to shoot, and they said, well, I haven't shot for a long time. I said, well, better get to practicing, just in case it happens, in case we make it. Well, I'll be up there. All right, let me see here. I've got to get my, I got all kinds of messages coming in here. My goodness. Let's see if I can bypass some of these things and get back to where I started from. Illinois, strangely enough, the Illinois House has approved the legalization of sound suppressors there, silencers as a lot of people like to call them. They were able to push this through, what was this, a week ago Tuesday? Yeah, a week ago tonight, as a matter of fact. And this is something that's been regulated by the NFA for, well, since when? 1934. So, and I've never understood that. I don't know of any crime other than maybe shooting up street signs or, you know, maybe killing somebody's dog in her backyard or something. I don't know of any crimes against people. Robberies, murders, that used silencers. I never understood why, when you can buy silencers over the counter in Europe, Australia, practically, and here you got to jump through all these hoops and wait for like 6 months and pay, what is it, $200 or something to get a suppressor. Why would you not want suppressors? People crying, bitch and moan about the noise, and then won't let us buy a suppressor. I don't get it. Anyway, Illinois has made them legal for citizens there, and they're legal now in 42 states. People say, oh, silencers are illegal. Well, no, they're not. Not federally. The only thing that that's illegal about them is you can't have one without jumping through all the hoops and getting the permit for it, but they're still legal. Unless it's illegal to drive without a driver's license, too, but you still, you know, it's still legal. So 42 states now are legal to have suppressors in. So I thought that was pretty neat coming from Ohio or Illinois, of all places. I was pretty astounded when they got their concealed carry law passed. That was amazing enough. And now they're legalizing suppressors. Quite a deal. So, let me move on here. We get a couple more out of the way before time to... I thought this was... Well, I love it when a plan comes together. This was... some of you guys might have heard this guy's name. He is... Philip Patrick Policarpio. He was it became a top priority for the FBI a couple of weeks ago, on April, or less than 2 weeks ago. But let me look and see. Yeah, this is a pretty new story. It's only 5 days old. But on April 12th, this guy and his girlfriend were at a party in East Hollywood. And he got mad and started beating his girlfriend before shooting her in the head in front of all the rest of the party. Go, well, that's not cool. She was 17 weeks pregnant at the time and died as a result of her injuries, as did the unborn baby. So he has quite a pattern of violence among that and other things that he's done. He was on parole for a prior 2001 felony conviction that included assault with a firearm and took off after killing his girlfriend, went to Mexico, no intention of returning. However, he either didn't pay attention to his GPS, or tried to outguess it, or thought he knew where he was going. Whatever, he took a wrong turn and went right into the waiting arms of the authorities there. He was stopped while trying to get into the United States in the San Ysidro district of San Diego. Told a Border Patrol agent that he was traveling from Tijuana and had accidentally made a wrong turn. When asked for his identification, he gave him a fake name and was unable to produce any documentation. So, quite naturally, that's what the folks in the biz there call a red flag. So, after running his fingerprints, they found out who he was. And the rest, as they say, is history. So, he's going to be facing murder charges of both the woman and the unborn child. So, I suspect that if they can keep him from escaping, that he's going to be gone, be out of pocket here for some time. Tomorrow, in the morning, I've got to go to traffic court. Well, I don't gotta, I chose to, over a speeding ticket. Now, remember, we had David Robart on the show here, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, when we were still in Pine Top. And he explained to us in excruciating detail how to fight these tickets. And it's worked once for us with Amy. Got a ticket for a 60 or 65 and a 45. Got completely out of it. Got it dismissed. Well, I'm going to go down and see if it works just as well tomorrow for me. And once I get that out of the way, then I'll be headed south, headed down to pick up my sweetheart and get her back here. It's been a long, long dry spell here without her being here. I miss her laugh and her. I don't know if for those of you that have met Amy, who all in the chat room has met Amy? Long Slide. I think Northwest Heavy did. Let's see, Radio Doc has. Yakima Glock has. And boy, talk about somebody that has smiling eyes. My goodness, when Amy smiles, her eyes light up like a Christmas tree. And she is such a joy to be around. Got a very infectious laugh, no question about it. So anyway, we're going to head down. And one of the things, actually, I don't think I'll go into it. What are you talking about, Yakima Glock? A couple of road racers there, and I'm not sure what you mean. I must be kind of dense. I'm not catching on there. Man, got a couple of road racers there in your household. Oh, well, yeah, every once in a while we do that. You know, here in Arizona, you can go to, it used to be 2 years. It's down to 1 year now. If you don't get a speeding ticket but once a year, you can go to traffic court as often, traffic school as often as you want to, as long as it's not any more often than once a year. You go to traffic school and it's wiped off your record. So, that's what, I didn't know that until I got that second ticket. I hadn't had a ticket in like 5 years and then got two of them a week apart. Unbelievable. That's what I get. Well, anyway. Well, I'll let you know how it turns out. I'm not going to get into details on the air tonight for obvious reasons. But Wednesday night, when I get back here, remember I will not be on tomorrow night because I'm picking up Amy. So Wednesday night, we'll go over that. I'm going to spend some time. Whether I win or lose, doesn't matter. Matter of fact, even if I lose, I'm going to appeal it. So we'll let you know how that goes. But win or lose, I'll go over those things. It has worked for us before. So sometimes it does. There's no guarantee. If you have a judge that is fair and abides by his oath and the Constitution, then you can get out of it. It's not a matter of quote unquote trying to get out of it. It's not that we're trying to defeat the system. It's just that there comes a point. Now, it's one thing when you're going 85 miles an hour in a school zone. Okay, that's one thing. But if you're out there in the middle of nowhere and few, if any, cars around, the road is straight, it's dry, it's sunshiny and daylight outside, and you're staying within your lanes and you're not endangering anyone, why does it matter whether you're going 60 or 45? I get the school zones and stuff like that. I can see that. But out in the middle of nowhere, I don't get it. So it's not a matter of trying to get out of it. It's a matter of just of justice, common sense. Yakima Glock, most of your tickets you got were seatbelt. In Arizona, you cannot get a ticket for a seatbelt unless they have stopped you for something else. If they stop you for speeding, if they stop you for whatever, and you don't have your seatbelt on, yes, you can get a ticket. But they can't just be driving down the road and say, hey, that guy ain't got his seatbelt on. Let's turn around and grab him. So that's a good thing here in Arizona. But that's not the case in a lot of places. In New Mexico, you can be driving through Albuquerque or Santa Fe, and they could spot you from, you know, a mile away, and they'll stop you for nothing more than this stupid seatbelt thing, which ticks me off to no end. But anyway, I'm going to ease on out of here now. I hope you guys have a good, I'll see if I can get to Tinker to put us on a couple of archives for tomorrow night. And we'll see if we can get through one deal there. And I'll be back Wednesday night. And I appreciate y'all spending the time with me tonight. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Born to race, he had a mean streak 2 feet wide. A son of a gun with a taste for fun and more than his share of pride. Take a dirt road curve with a devil's nerve, make a car dance across the mud. And haul and shine was his regular line till the track got in his blood. He was a real hot shot, and he bragged a lot, but man, that fool could drive. Cause he loved the field.
You've been listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern for the most politically incorrect show on talk radio.
Daughters of that foul bunch back in town. And them little girls get frisky when they hear that race car sound. They're bringing out the yellow flag, somebody's breaks the bill. There's a horse stick on the inside and a wreck along your bill. You better stand on the stroker, cause a bandit's on your tail.
Tune in again on Fridays at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty Lounge.
It's a downright joy for a country boy when he hears them engines foam. But you gotta hang tough and it gets real rough when you're out there on your own. Cause they'll push you around, they'll knock you down.
And catch Living Way Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the only good news out there. Trivia, stories, tips, hints, and fun on Living Way Out Here, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Stroker, get your dander up, this ain't no time to lag. You got to make a lap up if you're gonna take that checkered flag. Number 10 is closing in to even up the score. It's time to wave bye-bye and put the pedal on low. You better stand up, Stroker, cause you're blowing off their door. Blow their door off, Stroker.